Audrey Rose is an inspirational young lady. Born with severe heart disease and also blind due to an incredibly rare condition, it's fair to say life has been incredibly difficult for the young Californian. I'm joined now by our father, Jim Walker, who would like to share his daughter's story. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Barry.
So, Jim, if you could take us back to 2006, please. I believe it was during a routine ultrasound that you first heard about your daughter's impending complications.
Yes, about 5 months in, we had an ultrasound, and my degree happens to be in human performance, and I saw that there was something seriously wrong with her heart. We had a doctor come in, and they told us that she was probably going to be born dead or dying, and they'd have to operate on her immediately.
Every parent's worst nightmare.
It doesn't get much worse than that. I mean, you know, so then you live with that until the birth, expecting the baby to come out dead. But a miracle happened, and she was born pink and crying just like a regular baby. But she was transported to another hospital right away because they had to run a bunch of tests on her. But it definitely was, you know, a miracle because she was supposed to be born dead. So that was quite exciting for us.
So here you are, you and your wife, you've just witnessed the birth of your daughter. It's a miracle she was born at all. She's alive. But the hospital didn't exactly cover themselves in glory, did they?
You know, when babies are first born, they used to put sodium nitrate in their eyes to help protect them from bacteria and stuff like that. And so when we got up to the second hospital, I noticed that there wasn't any on her eyes, and it looked a little unusual. So I opened them up, and I saw that there was nothing in there. So I didn't trust my own senses, so I asked the cardiologist to look. He said he had to get a second opinion. Now, really, Barry, who needs to get a second opinion? You pull open a child's eyes, there's no eyeballs in there. You got an empty socket. Why would you need a second opinion on that? So he gets a second opinion. While that's happening, a nurse walks by and tells us, oh, you know, your daughter has beautiful blue eyes. And you're going to see them in about a week when the swelling goes away. So I started to doubt my own senses. You know, I've been in police and firework for 20 years. And I was thinking, well, maybe I'm having contact hysteria because I expected my daughter to be born dead.
And he's the expert as well.
Yeah, so the nurse tells us she's got beautiful blue eyes. I didn't know what to think. So the ophthalmologist comes in, she looks, opens the eyes up with a speculum. She says, well, I have to get a second opinion. So now I'm wondering what is really going on here. The head of the department of ophthalmology comes in, opens up with a speculum. He can hardly hold his hand still. He's shaking so bad. Well, we have to go off and confer. They go off and confer and come back, and the two ophthalmologists tell us, well, the reason why you can't see the eyeballs is because one of them is sealed shut. Now, remember, Barry, they just opened it in front of me with a speculum. And he said, the second one you can't see because in utero, there's a film over the eye and it dissipates before birth, but yours hasn't. So in about a week, you're going to see the eyeball. Well, okay. Barry, fish have a film over their eyes, but humans don't. So that's how we found out that my little angel had no eyeballs, bilateral and ophthalmal.
That's quite incredible to get so much wrong information from professional people.
It was stunning, Barry. I was absolutely stunned. And if you're going to do a job, you've got to do all of it. You've got to take the hard with the good. That doctor should have told us the truth. But it wasn't just one doctor. It was two doctors and a nurse. So absolutely stunning how we came to find that out.
Incredibly inept. Now, This wasn't the end of Audrey Rose's problems by a long shot. And by just 9 months old, Jim, she would have had 3 open heart surgeries, I believe.
Well, she had her first open heart surgery at 7 months, and it was an 11-hour procedure. And, you know, you talk about miracles. I hope I don't offend anybody in your audience, but the only doctor in the world that could save my daughter's life was a half hour north of us at Stanford Hospital in Lucile Packard Children's Hospital. Otherwise, by the time she was 2, she would have been dead. We also had some issues with that same hospital that told us she had eyeballs. They performed surgery on her that was totally unnecessary and risked her life. And we, to this day, can't figure out why they did it unless they wanted to use her as a guinea pig. But yeah, so she had 11-hour open heart surgery. The surgery was successful. She's had 3 open heart surgeries. She's had several catheterizations and hundreds of invasive procedures. She's 11 years old right now, and she still has a heart valve, a missing ventricle, and so that has to be replaced. She has a stent that has to be taken care of. She has what's called tetralogy of Fallot, which means she has no pulmonary artery. So she was born without the artery that takes blood from the heart to the lungs. So that's why they said she was going to be born dead. But the miracle that happened was is that veins showed up attaching from her heart to her lungs, a bunch, several veins. So how she could live without a pulmonary artery, we can only think that it was a miracle.
I believe school hasn't been ideal for her either. She's had a tough time there. So the last few years, it's been a tough time all round for her.
She struggles every day. You know, she gets shunned every day at school. Break and lunch, kids don't want to play with her because, you know, it takes a lot of patience. Can't do the running around and stuff that all the other kids can do.
Despite all the terrible things that have happened to her, she seems to have a great outlook in life, Jim.
Well, here's the thing, Barry, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that's certainly a lot more positive and fun to talk about. Everybody she comes near and she touches is just touched by her. Many people have said to us that she's here on the earth for some special reason. And one of the reasons is that she touches people, you know.
So what age did you discover your daughter had such an incredible voice?
Audrey Rose started talking when she was 7 months old. And I think the reason was is because I stayed home to raise her because we couldn't afford daycare. And I talked to her and I verbalized absolutely everything that I did. When I put her seatbelt on, I was explaining that to her. I'm putting your seatbelt on, it's going to go across your chest and whatever. So she started talking at 7 months old. And then it wasn't too long later, maybe 12 months old, she started, you know, I would sing to her all the time. And not in public because it would ruin everybody's hearing. But I would sing to her, and so then she started singing songs, and there's actually a video on YouTube where at about 12 months, it says 17 on there, but I just didn't think anybody would believe it. But about 12 months, she knew the words to seven songs.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's how we knew she could sing. Didn't know she had a real good voice, though, until she was asked to sing at a fundraiser. I didn't really know, but she had been singing at these camps with her mother, and I had no idea. So she sang at this fundraiser for a place called Camp Taylor, and the crowd went crazy. And as a result of that, she sang for the Scottish Highland Games at Pleasanton, California, and the 49ers saw that, so she was invited to come sing the national anthem in front of 70,000 people there. They say that the crowd was more boisterous than any crowd they've ever heard sing the American national anthem, including at Super Bowls.
So how did that opportunity come around?
Audrey Rose, when she was about 9 years old, I heard about Make-A-Wish, so I asked the Make-A-Wish people to come over and meet us, and what they do is they give wishes to severely handicapped children that are possibly could die. And so my daughter has almost died more than once. Her life has been saved by more than one doctor. So I contacted Make-A-Wish. We're an economically challenged family, and I want to do the best I can for my daughter. So Audrey chose, instead of going to Disneyland or Disney World or on a cruise or anything else, she chose to go meet the 49ers because it meant them cheering for her. She's going to get hugs from these guys. And so that's what she wanted to do. Unfortunately, the 49ers chose to destroy her Make-A-Wish, take all the aspects of it away, except, in fact, when we showed up in the limousine, that's what they told her. They said, but you can sing the national anthem, but you have to take a test first. So they tested her. She sang great. So on October 2nd, 2016, in front of 70,000 people, a sold-out crowd, my little 9-year-old daughter stood out there in the middle of the field surrounded by that many people. I was bawling my eyes out, as you can imagine.
Could imagine.
And I was crying. People all over were crying.
I could imagine, Jim. I've actually got a clip here as well that I'd like to share with the listeners. So this is Audrey Rose at the San Francisco 49ers Stadium singing the American National Anthem.
Please join me in welcoming Audrey Rose as she makes her NFL debut. Whose broad stripes
So, yeah, you must have been really proud, Jim.
Well, I was happy for her because, you know, she misses out on so much in life. The personal contacts that she has, the personal relationships are fantastic. It's tough on her.
What has it done for her confidence, singing to such adulation in front of so many people?
Well, the wonderful thing about her confidence is that she now is affirmed by so many people, people that we don't even know, you know, come up to us and say, hey, you know, I saw your daughter singing on the national anthem at the 49er game, and it was just fantastic. Yeah. And so we go to see her doctors on a regular basis, and the nurses just run up every time they see her, and they bring up the fact that she sang her song. And, of course, whenever we meet new people, Daddy gets to brag about the fact that his daughter did that.
More importantly, Jim, has it helped her make friends at school?
Well, it does, because the teachers understand that, you know, Audrey doesn't get the affirmation that all these other kids get, you know, breaks, lunches, and everything else. So they typically will show the video of her singing to the class, and then the class has a much better understanding of some of the things that she can do, and they aren't so skittish about coming up to her and initiating contact and initiating friendships and including her in the fun things that they do, because now they see that she's, you know, capable of anything that they're capable of. And so she's more of an equal now. They don't have any misconceptions anymore about her. They know that she's a powerful, strong young lady. And so, yes, the fact that she's done that opens doors for her.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And it must be reassuring for yourself and your wife, sending your daughter to school in the morning, knowing that she's going to have an easier time than before.
For sure, Barry. Nothing scares me more than my little girl being lonely and not being able to, you know, have fun friendships and relationships with people at school. Singing just opened those doors for her. She started a business selling birds, and that, you know, a lot of that confidence came from the positive and constructive reactions that she got. Within 24 hours, she had 70,000 views on YouTube and 400 comments. And she loves to ask me how many views she has.
Now, Jim, you mentioned financial restrictions. Audrey Rose obviously needs specialist equipment. Could you talk about some of the things that would be of help to her and also give details of how people can get involved?
You know, first off, she would love to have people watch her video because she loves to make people happy with her singing. So, and if any of your listeners wanted to send any thoughts or recommendations or guidance or anything, we would love to hear from anybody that wants to suggest anything to us and help us out in any way. She needs things like, you know, a Braille machine. She works with three special reading machines at school, but we can't support that at home because we don't have any machines at home for her to work with. And a 3D printer is pretty critical for her. You know, if your listeners could help out in any way, we would love to hear from any of them and get any of their recommendations on technology or anything else because, you know, I'm a layman when it comes to Audrey's condition, and so I can use any help that anybody could offer. She does have a GoFundMe.
And what is the address for the GoFundMe, Jim?
Well, I'll spell it out to you. It's GoFundMe, so GoFundMe.com/2A5XEB6C. So GoFundMe.com/2Adam5XRayEdwardBoy6Charles.
Jim, it's been a pleasure chatting with you and hearing you talk so passionately about your daughter Audrey Rose's life. We wish you all the very best. In the meantime, thanks very much for talking to us today on RNIB Connect Radio.
It's been my honor, Barry, to talk to you. The RNIB organization is absolutely exemplary. So I've been honored to talk to you, and I'm glad that I was able to, you know, share a little with your listeners. Thank you so much.